Well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. We're really excited. It's 2013. World didn't end.
Sort of. Those Mayans, those sons of bitches, they lied to us. I sold everything. I've been living on
the street. Did you pay someone to take care of your pets?
Yes. Everything. I don't. What happened? Oh, the Mayan calendar.
I was disappointed. I'm exhausted. If it would have ended, I would have been like, thank God I don't have to try anymore.
Why do you think I've been studying a samurai sword? I thought that was going to be my only means of survival, was killing people with a sword. I was quite looking forward to a lawless society where I could do what I wanted. And now I got to go back to paying bills and bullshit.
Yeah, now there's electricity and keys again.
Keys.
It's the keys that get you.
God damn it. Always with the keys. Enough. I got to get on a plane tomorrow. Like, all this technology, I don't need
Boo.
It.
You
can't know? Bring your samurai sword
no,
on the plane.
No, there's still laws. Ugh.
You're using a plastic knife on the butter.
So bullshitty.
Well, this is episode 141A.
141A, guys. It's
very
a,
excited.
It's
this
a
is
A for
first.
Awesome.
Yes.
For angst. For, yeah. Ah.
Ladies and gentlemen, starting the year off right, let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it.
The frequent Comedy Film Nerds writer, contributor to the Comedy Film Nerds Guide to Movies, and a very, very talented comedian in her own right. Please welcome Jackie Cation.
Hello, Jackie Cation here. How's it going?
And dorkforest.com.
Dorkforest.com. Comedy Film Nerds. Comedy Film Nerds. We're going to nerd out. What's comedy out?
Did you bring your morning radio voice?
I did. Just call me the weasel.
So what kind of comedy do you do, Jackie?
Well, what I do is I put on a tutu and I wear a tall hat. I wish I wore a tall hat.
Six shows this weekend. Jackie down at the Chuckle Hut. Gonna be banging it out.
I think of myself as the Larry the Cable Guy of stand-up comedy. Because I have
a lot. I'm confused. Isn't he a comedian?
Uh-huh. And then what happened? And so... I'm not saying that. I'm sure he's lovely and people are enjoying every moment. But I am selling so much merch now on the road that I was like, I am freaking Walmart. That's why I am the Larry the Cable Guy of stand-up comedy.
Hey, man. That guy made $5 million a year in his Get Her Done merch.
I hope he bought land, man. I hope he bought land.
Good. He's been smart with
Maria Bamford's thinking about saying, get her done. And she's like, could I just use that? Would that be all right if we just sort of go forward with a...
The Bammer. We should clarify.
You should have her on, by the way.
I'd love to have Maria on.
You should have her on because she goes to Goodwill and buys VHS tapes and will watch anything.
Oh, I want to talk to her about that.
Oh, yeah.
We'd have to see. Talk about her finds.
I want to talk to her about that. Because obviously she's seen Mannequin 2.
Mannequin on the Move.
Probably you're correct. Mm-hmm. She will also watch any sad sack movie that involves people being forced to make towels or some goddamn thing. Something happening in some third world country where it's just some sad... I don't know why, but she's on board with a documentary that points out that things are not going well for others.
Oh, right.
Because things are going well for her and myself. Things are every day with the roof and the food. It's nice.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The weather, too.
Roofs and food.
And the and the not world ending. That's good too.
Oh, I got rid of my roof for that very reason. It was so dumb.
And your food?
I set it all on fire. I thought I'd just be murdering people and being a cannibal. Was looking forward to cooking human flesh, and now I got to go to the goddamn store.
You bought a cookbook?
I bought a cookbook. Yes.
Were you gonna go with a curry? What were you thinking?
I was gonna curry humans. Yes, I still like Indian food.
You could still curry humans, but you'd just be combing their hairs. I have pony knowledge.
Yeah. Pony reference. I'm sure there's four people listening to that. I really enjoyed that point.
And that is my demographic, those four people. Let's rise to the occasion. I got a joke where I tap that mana. You know what that is? It's a Magic the Gathering joke for like one guy who's sitting in the back in his beard.
He came to the show alone.
And he brought his cards.
I have had more people come up to me.
Some of those cards are rare. You can't leave them at home.
You can't just leave them at home. People bring forest mana. People bring green mana. And then they ask me to sign it because of the Dork Forest. And they're like, will you sign this Magic the Gathering forest mana card?
I said this at the podcast festival on the panel we were on, and I will say this again. Jackie, you are so nerdy that literally Trekkies are like, hey, you need to
tone it down,
slow
a little.
It down a little bit. All right, yeah, like in yeah. full outfits. Like
full outfits.
Are
guy
going,
wearing like Geordi eyes.
Yeah.
You're like, come on,
who's got Spock ears is going, Jackie, really? You're a little too nerdy.
You might want to, I don't know, you might want to watch a football game or something. Some sort of sporting event.
Have you ever read just a historical novel? Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I read them all. Read them all. Yeah. I love them. I love them. My problem with historical novels, sometimes the history's bad, so I have to read historical novels that if it's not good, it's got to be a country I don't know anything about. Like, you can fuck with Scotland. Go ahead. I don't know anything about it.
Got it.
So this is 141A, and 141B will actually be the spoiler episode for The Hobbit, so we're going to talk in depth
this
about it.
This will be a regular episode. We're going to cover several movies.
Like, including The Hobbit.
Including The Hobbit, and we're going to do DVD in theaters like we normally do, and we will not give any spoilers away on this episode. But then the
Except for Jack Reacher, I think you should spoil that
yeah,
movie.
I'm going to spoil that movie. You've seen it in the 90s a bunch of times.
Jack Reacher.
Should we start with Jack Reacher?
Let's start with Jack Reacher.
You want to start with Jack Reacher, then go into The Hobbit?
Because that's that Tom Cruise revenge thing, right? Or
Isn't this Night and Day?
Basically, it has that same vibe. There's some cool moments in it. Jack Reacher, okay. Tom, it's based on a book. He is a...
About a short hitman.
No, yeah.
A tiny, tiny hitman.
Yeah.
With a lot of charisma.
And he stands on a step stool and he gets it done. He wears shape ups and people get taken out. Jack Reacher is a military investigator.
Mm-hmm.
So he tracks down, but he's some sort of
maverick.
Yeah, special op sort of.
Does he have his own code?
Of course. He lives on the edge. You know, are you wound too deep, Chris? Are you in too tight? I might have to throw you off this case because you can't handle the truth.
What's that lecture?
I'm the only one who gets results.
What's that lecture that Dirty Harry would always get from his CO or
yeah,
whatever
that's
it is?
Exactly.
Damn it, Callahan. I got the mayor breathing down my neck.
That comes right from the fifth floor. Oh, I love it. The chiefs in the Dirty Harry movies were always sweaty. It was that one, I forget that actor's name, but he was a character actor in A Million Things. Ty was always disheveled. He always looked.
Now get out of my office.
Get out of here. Just stacks of paperwork. It was.
He looked
the
like
phone
he smelled of cigarettes and coffee. Oh, yeah. And
he's always.
BO.
And like a 3-day-old Aquavelva. You know what I mean? And yes. Callahan, guy, I haven't had a shower in 3 days because of your hot dog. Have you ever heard of the Miranda? Miranda Report? That punk head writes.
So he's an investigator, but then what does he do? In this movie.
I think he takes things into his own hands, Chris. What are you?
Is he a vigilante?
I think I just explained to you what he does.
Does he take things in his own hands or does he take care of business? Which is it?
Both, friend.
Wow.
Guess what? Jack Reacher came to town. Knock, knock. It is, yeah.
Don't answer the door.
He sort of lives in the mist and just appears and get shit done.
Oh, is he supernatural?
That would have been great.
Okay.
I would have been like, wow, he's a shapeshifter. This is awesome. I'm so on board with Jack Reacher searching for the ring.
Jack Reacher, precious.
So there's some cool moments in there. But again, it's like Night and Day. I remember when I saw Night and Day and I felt like, this movie is still in the 90s. Like, it's a Tom Cruise movie from 1998 or 90.
Salt. There was a bunch of them that came out around the same time.
It's
yeah.
Just sort of that thing. Was he in Salt? I thought
no,
that was
no, it was that type of film.
Right. It was that type of film. Right. So he's, you know, there's some cool moments, but then there's some moments that are.
Are they Mission Impossible moments or are they like Serpico moments?
They're trying to be Serpico,
okay.
But in the glitzy Tom Cruise
shiny way.
Hollywood Scientology way.
Oh,
like,
damn it.
He can't.
It's the old way of movie making that no one cares about anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like, and he turns, you know, he turns as he's leaving and the camera zooms in and he says a quip and it's like, you laugh because, I don't think they made it to be funny. I think they thought, yeah.
This is what audiences
boom,
want.
Boom, home run, you know, like.
He gets to the door, he grabs the handle and then he turns around and goes, and hey, thanks. And then he heads back out the door on that one.
No, he doesn't have any introspective moments. It's all just...
Oh, it's never him looking out a window. All right.
No, it's always just him. It's him stopping and turning and going, that's how I get it done. Or,
oh, Jesus. All right.
You know,
oh, God.
Like, I like my coffee black or whatever.
Did it do well?
$14 million. Well, so no.
So...
That was Tom Cruise's fee for his trailer and personal trainer,
right.
I guess.
Oof.
So it you know, it's funny. When Tom Cruise doesn't have total control of a picture, like in Magnolia, he's great. You know what I mean? And there's moments of this that are fun or interesting, but it's like it was caught between what you're saying, trying to be a gritty...
Okay.
Because the book, I'm sure, was gritty.
Right.
Versus Mission Impossible. Like, he knows how to do Mission Impossible movies and anything like that quite well. Just
right.
Big blockbustery
summer.
He can
walk through it and things can blow up behind him and he can handle it.
And you go to the Mission Impossible movies and you go, yeah, this is what I expect. Tom Cruise is great at it.
I thoroughly enjoy
it's
it.
It's also a franchise.
Yeah, it's a franchise.
That you're kind of familiar with and you know what to expect.
And like this latest...
So you can forgive a lot of times when it becomes contrived and predictable.
It's like a James Bond movie. You know what I mean? Like there's gadgets and shit that's not real and cool cars and okay, great.
Although that last Mission Impossible movie, they kind of had magic wands. I mean, they pretty much threw the gadgets out the window. And like, well, this stuff
is... Was he in Dubai climbing outside of a building, the tallest building in the world?
With special gloves.
Yeah, he had special gloves
Isotoners.
Why would... Yeah. Well, the thing about Tom Cruise is that he is an empty vessel. And so that if you wrote him something that was real and then just had him act in it, like the Jack Reacher thing, I think he did have control over that,
of
right?
Of course,
that
was all when him, he comes right? in with all his giant corporation behind him.
Right.
It gets in the way because he's still, you know, he's making movies.
It's that old way of movie
it
making.
Is that old
again,
way.
Yeah, like you said.
This is a film... You know, when it comes out on DVD and you got nothing to do, maybe you watch it.
And it can be boiled down to star set piece quip.
Yep.
Star set piece
quip. That's it. That's it. And that's all it is.
Well, then I'll probably end up just watching it on FX like 5 years from now and it'll be fine.
Yeah, while you're checking your email and doing laundry and it'll be a delightful
And then
evening.
You'll go, I don't remember in the 90s when this movie came out.
Right.
Like, what was I, in college? When this came out? I missed it?
I must have been busy.
Yeah.
So it's
so it's that.
That's what it is.
All right.
Let's get into it. The Hobbit.
No spoilers on this episode.
Okay. Let's talk about it first. Now, Jackie, we thought of you immediately for this episode because you enjoy The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
I do.
Very
lived
much.
In that world.
Yes.
I have a round door.
So
I do not have a round door. I wish I had a round door.
Don't let her. Yes, she does.
I live in a hole. Not a nasty, dirty hole or a damp hole, but a hobbit hole.
Yeah, that was warm and inviting
and
had food.
Right. And
low
ceilings because I am short.
I have to say, it's been a couple years now, so I wasn't sure what to expect.
Was Peter Jackson, you've read it?
No, since the last movies came out. So, and I've read the books numerous times as you have. Not as many times as you.
Sure.
But I have read them, and I was watching this movie. And I saw it twice, and I want to talk about the normal movie and then the advanced frame rate, the high frame rate version.
Which I heard was great, but I didn't see it.
I want to talk about that too. But first, I do want to say I really enjoyed the movie. I really liked it. It did have some problems with it, but it was one of those movies that this is the type of old-time filmmaking that I actually enjoy because it's like an old type of – it's an old story, obviously. It's a fairy tale type story. It washes over you. It kind of almost like – goes into almost a simpler time. So you can kind of really enjoy the way the fairy tale unfolds.
Right.
When was this historically, though,
this time? It was set in the Vikings in 1954 with Martin Sheen's dad.
Yes.
What?
Kirk Douglas? With Jack Reacher.
And I get them all mixed up.
You've just been viked.
Now, the one main problem I had with it is that it was too long. And these
a lot
this,
of people say that.
This decision,
a Peter Jackson movie was too long.
Hard to believe.
This decision to turn it into three movies instead of two was ridiculous. So, but the one thing I want to say about this is when you saw the Lord of the Rings movies and you saw the added footage afterwards in DVD, a lot of, like myself, were excited. I'm like, oh, I can't believe they left this out. This actually helps move the story along. And then this also, there's scenes in there that make the movie better.
Mm-hmm.
However, then King Kong came out. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh, Peter Jackson can kind of do whatever he want. And this movie was bloated and overly long. And there was way too many scenes in it.
Right.
So... The Hobbit comes out.
You're talking about King Kong, right?
King Kong, yes. Yeah. The Hobbit comes out. There are too many scenes in this movie. And here's the problem that I see this. And now you can respond to every one of these points.
All right. Give me a pen.
What Peter Jackson did was he went into the appendices of The Lord of the Rings and actually added a lot of that into the story.
And the unfinished tales.
And the unfinished tales into The Hobbit. Now, when you do that, here's what you lose. You lose the focus of the story specifically on Bilbo Baggins and his perspective of the narrative.
We will disagree, my friend. We will disagree. But but you did enjoy it.
I did enjoy it.
And you didn't like some of the backstory? You like all the backstory
stuff? I didn't.
Stuff?
It was too much because, and this is why I didn't like it. It took the it took the story away from what the story was really about. It's The Hobbit. It's this journey.
So you just wanted them to make The Hobbit. Is what you kind of wanted.
No, you could. I don't think the balance was struck properly. I think you could add the backstory in, but what they made it more of an ensemble movie than an actual perspective of someone who comes from very humble beginnings, who's out of their league, and then ultimately rises to the occasion told from their perspective. Because when you add in a lot of this backstory and extra.
But they have to add. I would argue that they have to have that stuff in there because of the book itself. Because the first three quarters of the book are a children's novel. The last quarter of the book is an adult horrible nightmare. I don't know if you've read it, but the Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't just introduce that and go, oh, and by the way, there's going to be this giant battle at the end of the book.
Sure.
And I understand, but I don't
think it struck the right balance. And I thought the acting was amazing. I thought Martin Freeman did an amazing job. I thought I really enjoyed him as Bilbo Baggins.
So much better than Elijah Wood and Rudy and anybody else who was fucking whatever.
So
because here's.
But
shall
overall,
I hold forth?
Overall, I really liked it. I just thought that was like
you thought
creatively,
it was maybe an hour too long.
Not even an hour, maybe 40 minutes. Where you know a lot of this backstory with you know the Brown Wizard,
Radagast.
Radagast
Brown. There are three lines in all of Tolkien literature about Radagast. People have had a serious problem, including Radagast. I did not have a problem with it, but. I didn't have a problem with almost anything in this book, in this movie.
Okay, well, why don't you start?
Because this is what I was surprised about and psyched about as a Tolkien fan, right? Mm-hmm. Which is that Peter Jackson finally gets hobbits. Like, he didn't get hobbits in The Lord of the Rings, in my opinion.
Really?
Peter Jackson is amazing. Those worlds that he creates are gorgeous. They are beautiful. They are perfect to the last belt buckle. They are amazing looking. They are the Lord of the Rings, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, is a very fancy willow. It is the fanciest of all willows, and it is. I love Willow. I own Willow. I watch Willow at least once a year.
You don't mean that as an insult.
I don't mean that as an insult. What I mean it as is.
I'm sorry. I thought that was a great insult. I loved that insult. My apologies.
Right. Well, here's the thing: is if I could watch the Lord of the Rings movies without, if I can suspend the fact that I've ever read the books, then I can watch it and go, oh, that this is a story. Because when you watch the Lord of the Rings movies, you're like, Aragorn's the hero. Aragorn's the hero. This is what's going to happen. In the books, Aragorn is not the hero. Frodo is the hero.
Right.
And so Peter Jackson, I don't think, understood that it was a story of a little guy. In The Lord of the Rings, in The Hobbit, and Elijah Wood.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that he just didn't understand it, or did he just go,
Nobody cares.
I want the long-haired, good-looking, handsome guy to be our tip. That's a typical movie hero.
I think you're right to
I think it was a creative decision. It's like, I'm going to broaden out these books. I'm going to elevate some of the other characters and make it a larger ensemble story.
And that was my problem with The Lord of the Rings is that he lost the hobbits in it.
Exact problem I had with The Hobbit.
Right. I have the exact problem with The Lord of the Rings is that they lost the actual story of The Hobbit and the ring. But then there are scholarly differences. Is like Return of the King. A lot of people think that the king in the Lord of the Ring books is Sam. And some people think it's Aragorn. Most people think it's Aragorn because he is
the king
of Gondor.
How many people think it's Sam? That's got to be one hand.
Just 12 people.
Yeah.
I don't care who the king is. I just love the Council of Elrond, and the Lord of the Rings ruined it. So the movie. But here's the thing about the Hobbit. I think in what Peter Jackson really does with giving all this backstory and going back and introducing all these characters, I thought he did a couple of good things. I thought he kept the childlike, he kept the silly funny of it in, which will make kids wanna watch it more. And he
this is not a movie for kids. It really isn't.
No, not the kids that the book was written for. Not a 5 to 7 year old.
Exactly.
Child.
Yeah, that's
this
what
is
I mean.
An 11 to 14 year
right.
old kid.
Couldn't agree more.
Right. Which is a kid that can see a lot of dark, you know. But there's no blood.
No, but there's a lot of violence though.
Well, there's a lot of swinging heads.
Right.
There's a lot of, and it's gross, and it's the kind of, you know, there's an 11 year old boy in all of us who's like, please tell me a booger joke, please, for the love of Christ, tell me a booger joke, and your wishes are fulfilled.
Yeah, you no, get that.
Spoiler alert. No, there's no spoiler there because if you've read the book, so, but I loved it. I genuinely loved it, and I didn't feel when I was watching it that it was too long.
Really?
I didn't. I mean,
let me ask both of you this. Mm-hmm. To the passive fan.
You're being very restrained, by the way, Greg.
Well, everyone knows what I feel about these, so there's no reason for me to chime in and say they're stupid and everyone who watches them is dumb.
Right. Right. That does seem sweeping.
Yeah, that does. You're right. There is no reason for that. Yeah.
It's like, it's only dumb married couples.
Oh, I watched it alone.
That meme. Nice.
Which makes it even better.
No, I'm calling back another dumb argument.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So let me ask you this question. To the passive fan who isn't, you guys are obviously super fans of this
dipped.
World.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys really love all the books. You know every front to back. To the passive fan who maybe hasn't read all the books, but like the Lord of the Ring movies, and just went, wow, Peter Jackson, like you said, he's a beautiful, the images that he makes are beautiful, and they liked them, right. or not, yeah. whatever, just right. a varying yeah. degrees of liked Lord of the Rings up to
and
loved
awesome
them.
Fight scenes, and if you love action movies.
Would those right. people, the passive fan, are they going to like The Hobbit?
You know what? I think yes, but they're also going to think it's too long, because they're going to think it meandered too much.
I think you nailed it. I think that they're going to be like, well, I don't get why there's all this weird stuff going on, but it looks really cool, and there's enough fighting, and there's enough weird, because some things were changed, you know, much like the Lord of the Rings.
Yes. But is the one of the reasons why it is long is because Peter Jackson went into such detail from the book?
No. It's actually because he went into such detail from the appendices. And of the Lord of the Rings and the... What did you, the unfinished tales. So it's all this extra information.
It's not in The Hobbit, but it is alluded to in The Hobbit, because there's enmity between the dwarves and the elves and the goblins, who are the orcs. And there's all this backstory that has to be told if you're going to get... I mean, he could have just done the book. He could have just said, okay,
here's where
Bilbo goes on a path.
For specifics, this is where... you know, where I think the balance was not struck. Like at the beginning of the movie, not spoiler alert, you know, the dwarves have lost their home to a dragon. Mm-hmm. And you don't really learn that until later when they're in the book, when they get to Bilbo's house and all that, and everything's kind of explained. But you get to see it right at the beginning, the dragon actually coming in and taking the dwarves home. And you're like, oh, I don't have to wait till like the second movie to see the dragon. I thought that was a really cool thing to do.
Yeah.
And now that stuff I was on board with, because it related to the Hobbit story. But the stuff with the brown wizard and the, you know, the nature wizard, and then all this other extra council-y talking stuff.
Council with the necromancer?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought that was too much. But I will say,
fair
though,
enough.
That the one thing, but again, and this is one of the things I did really enjoy, the focus also went a little bit more onto the dwarves and why they were doing this, and the more, like, everything got fleshed out, and there was a little more personality with each dwarf, and also the leader of the dwarves. You're like, oh, it's just the leader of the dwarves that's kind of leading the Hobbit on a journey. No, they became real characters with real backstory, Thorin Oakenshield, and tragic characters, which really, you know, gave it the movie a little more depth that I wasn't expecting there. I thought, oh, everything will be kind of about...
Yeah, he did an amazing job with the dwarves.
So that's,
I really
that
do
stuff
think.
I was really on board with. So,
well, was it the... Is it the... So it was mostly just Radagast and the White Council, because they are just mentioned in the books.
No, and there was more stuff too. We'll get into the next episode.
Okay, so since we got to kind of move on a little bit in this episode,
okay,
just broad strokes here. Do you guys feel, and what has been the sort of the nerd response online from the diehard fans? Is it overwhelmingly everyone loves it? Is it split? Like, what is
it's the- a little, from what I can tell, it's a little split. Like, I think there's three camps, right? There's the people, like you said, who saw The Lord of the Rings, didn't read the books, and just are like, more Peter Jackson, more hobbits, more fighting. Mm-hmm. And they liked it, but thought it was too long. And then there's there are people that I know Tolkien fans who have just rage about Radagast the Brown. Why Radagast the Brown, and why are the elves so prominent and all this stuff? But it's so it is slightly split. But the Tolkien professor, I don't know if you're familiar with his work. He has a podcast, Tolkien Prof. And but
that's so great. His whole podcast is dedicated.
He has three different podcasts. One dedicated just to the Silmarillion. One dedicated entirely to speculation about what the first movie was. 11 hours I listened to of speculation in the last 6 months of what.
I want to do that with Batman. Batman only podcast where that's all I talk about.
Just speculation.
Just speculation. What do you think?
Obscure issues.
Right. Which issue from the 70s? What are they going to bring back? What's the costumes going to look like? Because it went there. It went to costumes. It went to how they were going to open it. What parts of the appendices they were going to use. If they were going to do backstory, what was going to be the first.
And so there is a faction of the fans out there that are taking this
very, very, very seriously. Right. And some of them...
That's weird, on the internet, maybe?
Hard to believe. But
wait,
very seriously...
Nerds getting way too wound up about it?
Very seriously and mad about it. Very seriously and okay about it. So completely split, like everything, you know.
I think I'm going to save the technology discussion for the next episode.
Okay.
Too, okay.
Because let's...
But on the whole, I would
really
say that it...
I'm really curious to hear that.
But I would say that it's a great movie. And
it's
that,
not... So there's no one coming out, other than people like me, but there's no one who's on board with these coming out and saying,
huge disappointment. Yeah.
No one
is swing and a miss. Or is it,
no.
Not
just
that.
Just varying degrees of hitting the target.
Yeah, right. Varying degrees of this might
exactly.
be too long.
Yes.
True enough. And I'm like... what about a person who wants to live in that world? No, I'm in. I'm on board. Let's make it longer.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, well then, let's get to the next movie, because it's sort of, you and I now will kind of flip-flop in terms of filmmakers.
Right. Is this one of your favorite filmmakers?
I really like Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
Django Unchained, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Foxx is very good in it. Mm-hmm. I like everyone in it. I see why a lot of people are going to be offended by it. Because the N-word is used 10,000 times.
Right. But isn't it about the N-word?
Right. It's about, it's like.
I mean, they kind of have to use the N-word, right?
Well, you know, the people who, my guess from the little interviews I've seen on TV that are offended are people who, if you say, whenever they hear that word, they flip out and just
can't. People that were offended about what Archie Bunker would say. Something
sure,
like
sure.
That.
I mean, like if you say, "Boy, the word nigger is a horrible word. Never use it." You said it. Like
right.
There's people who are gonna
even
be,
if you say academically, you're talking about it. Do you know that
say it's an awful word? No one should ever use it. And people are going to just hear that you said it and go.
Allow me to weed off
it.
Very, very quickly to say that Greg Fitzsimmons, the other night, I'm hanging out with him. His 12-year-old son saw Blazing Saddles for the first time, and they were driving home. They had been at somebody's house, and all the kids were watching it, and he's 12. And they're driving home, and his 12-year-old son said, "Dad, what is a nigger? What does it mean?" How crazy is it that kid has never heard
right.
that word?
Doesn't know.
It doesn't even know. And Greg's scrambling, trying to go, what is the history of the horrible word?
Right.
And he's like, how do I remember? Okay. And it was just crazy. Anyway.
There's two schools of thought of like, we should never use the word ever again and wipe it away.
Or then, use it and destroy its power.
Destroy its power. That's right. Like Lenny Bruce was like, I'm going to use it so much that it means nothing. And I think that's probably where Quentin Tarantino comes from.
Another side story.
Probably.
Rich Voss played Lenny Bruce in the Dick Clark TV show American Dreams. Rich Voss played Lenny Bruce in the Dick Clark TV show American Dreams.
Good for him.
I want to eat a bullet. And it's not that Rich Voss doesn't make me laugh occasionally, but I didn't know Lenny Bruce, but he's no Lenny Bruce. Pretty sure. Anyway. Right. Anyway, Django Unchained.
So Django Unchained, it's really good. The one thing about it is part of me was like, Quentin Tarantino, you liked movies in the 70s.
Right.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the one thing where I'm starting to feel like...
Oh,
You know, and I love that era of movies.
Right.
You know?
You could probably trace back all of his movies to the 70s.
To the 70s, and it's like, or late 60s, you know?
Right.
And you know, I just feel like...
Did he do the crazy credits?
Yeah, kind of. He did crazy credits, and, you know, a lot of the music choices were from there and stuff like that. But again, you know, he visually... I really like how he tells a story. Again, a little too long.
Yeah.
This movie didn't need to be this long.
It didn't need a brown wizard.
It didn't need a brown wizard.
Radagast.
It didn't need hobbits in it.
I will say this sweeping statement about Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. The last Quentin Tarantino movie I saw, by the way, Pulp Fiction. There's been others. I understand he's been working since then. But every time I see the synopsis, every time I see a trailer, every time I see a preview, I think to myself, oh, it's another revenge fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's all he does. That's all he does. And I have revenge fantasies I'm working on not acting on. So I don't need to be encouraged. Like it would Kill Bill, right? Mm-hmm. A lady loses her baby. And then she's got to go out and fight. You know, there's sexism, man. It ain't right. So she's going to go off and she's going to kill some people. And then... Inglourious Bastards? Who doesn't want the Jews to kill Nazis? Who doesn't want the
with
Jews
a bat.
To, with a bat? Right. Hitler, right? Dead. And now this thing with slavery and the slave owners. His next movie, if it is not Jesus comes off the cross and kills Romans on a spree, I think that he's missing out. I think he's missing out on a real like next film opportunity.
It's that thing, you know.
Now, you like the movie, though?
Overall, I like the movie.
Uh-huh. Because I love those. It's a video game. It's like,
yeah.
It's awesome.
It's cool, and you know, it's a Western. I mean, really, it's like a Clint Eastwood revenge Western. I mean,
right.
It's definitely like Django's in town, cleaning up. You know, kind of like Outlaw Josey Wales a little bit, you know, like a horrible thing happens to his family and he's, you know, he's
yeah.
Laconic, soft-spoken, quiet guy, you know.
And then that was the line, man.
Boom. And so everyone in it is really good. I mean, Christoph Waltz is great. Leonardo DiCaprio, Kerry Washington, Samuel Jackson.
Just amazing actors.
He gets great actors. He gets great performances out of them. And he visually tells a story in a very inventive way.
Right. And it's super fun. I mean, that's what you want. You want someone to come down off the cross and kill some havoc.
What you're getting is like drive-in movies from the 70s with really good acting and good stories.
Right.
You know, the
so what you're saying is you're kind of always been getting the grindhouse movies. Like
that's what he makes.
Yeah,
he makes
yeah.
versions of that. I mean, like, you know, Kill Bill, the volume one is a samurai movie. Volume two is a spaghetti Western.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really cool.
Yeah.
And he puts all these amazing
great
elements
actors,
in both.
Yeah.
Great actors and mm-hmm. cool action scenes, and he, you know,
and in beautiful settings, and it's just all incredible. What it is
strong
is it's incredibly well done.
Yeah,
but I don't like myself when I watch those movies. You know, that's my thing. Is I will sit
you feel
there
dirty.
I think I feel dirty, and I mean, I can sit there and I can play Call of Duty and I can shoot guys in the game because I know it's a game, but I'm just like the visceral sense of satisfaction when a Jew kills Hitler. I'm just like, yeah, let's go back in time and fucking do that. And I don't want to, you know, you can't, I mean, because I think it takes some power away from the actual history of it. You know, I mean, the fact that the we've all risen above, even the Germans have risen above Nazism and all of this stuff. It's a 9-year-old boy kind of thing with a giant bag of money and a lot of talent making an amazing movie.
Oh, right. You're saying like we...
It's
we
not needed, Spielberg, right? It's
right.
not
we needed to, as
Raiders
a society,
of the Lost Ark
to learn about how awful slavery was rather than just go fucking clean
Tarantino
house.
Directs from his id.
Sure.
Very
really
much.
Does.
Very yeah. much so. And I mean, the thing is I don't see Quentin Tarantino making Silverado. You know?
No.
Right.
No.
It's, which I loved. I love Silverado. It's a great Western.
I would like to see...
And as revenge fans,
I would like to see just like make a movie that isn't all got the 70s stuff in it. Because
okay.
part of me just feels like.
I'd like to see him do a James Bond movie.
I'd like to see him do Hope Springs. Sandra Bullock, Hugh Grant.
A remake of the Chevy Chase Funny Farm. Yeah. I really want to watch
2 weeks' notice.
Fletch?
Maybe. Fletch. You know what? He would do an amazing
that
job with
Fletch.
That would
be a great movie. Yeah. Like he, that
and I, that needs to be remade, quite honestly.
Yeah, and
I
if
genuinely
it was done
do.
Correctly,
yeah.
He's a guy that could do the action and the sense of humor of
yes.
that movie correctly.
Because
that's
a
great idea. Dude.
That is
we
a great
were being
idea.
Idiots, but
yeah.
you, that was a great
yeah,
choice.
We were just messing around, but that's perfect.
So yeah,
he's
I could kind of see it.
Quentin
yeah.
Tarantino is genuinely mm-hmm. funny. Uh-huh.
And he
has an amazing sense of humor.
And like, so it's like all of his films. I mean, anyway, the Jackie Brown, all of them have this sort of 70s vibe to them. And I think it's time, like as a filmmaker, he needs to branch out from that. Like when Spike Lee branched out, when
who's Rodriguez who did the $7,000?
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an amazing movie. They made him remake that movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he did
El Mariachi,
Spy Kids.
Yeah,
El Mariachi. And then he did Spy Kids, and that now he just does movies. You know, every movie doesn't have to be El Mariachi, even though El Mariachi was amazing.
Although Machete, he did Machete.
Too. Yeah, he did do Machete. Yeah.
But, I mean, he came back.
He enjoys Machete.
He came back to do that because that was just like a joke. It was a joke trailer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, oh, right.
like, and the fans demanded it.
Yeah, let's see how ridiculous I can make this movie. So he came back and did his thing. Like, I to me...
I like the idea of him branching out and doing
something. I love it when directors do that. I mean, sometimes I feel like, and I'm not saying this about Quentin Tarantino, but I've, like, really good directors. I mean, Wes Anderson, I think, like, sometimes they can...
Oh, Wes Anderson, that...
We can... But I mean, like a couple of Wes Anderson's misses, like Steve Zissou or whatever, mm-hmm. I felt like he was, oh, I have to do these Wes Anderson things in my movie because I'm Wes Anderson.
And then Fantastic Mr. Fox came out.
Right.
Completely changed it.
Right.
And then even Moonrise Kingdom is very Wes Anderson, but it's an evolved version of
yes.
it, I guess.
Yeah, because the thing is it's always going to come from where he comes from, right? Mm-hmm. It's always going to be weirdo, kind of hipster. It doesn't look like I'm
you
trying.
You can't change
but
the core.
Right, you're not going to change your core. So Quentin Tarantino, it would be fascinating if he did something that was not an action film or was not – that had something else to it. You know, that
wasn't it the kitschy 70s music and like just make a movie like – And again,
Cloud Atlas.
And we've talked about this. We've talked about this on this show, even with you specifically. Like, as performers, we can fall into safe places that we.
Right.
I know this works. Like, mm-hmm. as comedians, I know this material works. I need to write new stuff or whatever it is.
Right.
But it's like, oh, man, it's such a home run. You know?
Yeah.
But it is a scary thing to
it's
just
scary
sort of
to do
blank
it.
Page and jump out there and do it. Whatever.
And Wes Anderson does that. He mm-hmm. does do that, uh-huh. and Quentin Tarantino should do that.
I think he should do it more. Like, that's the thing I came out of this movie going, good movie, all the things about him that I like.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him try something else because I know he's got it in him.
Yep.
That's what I think. So that's I mean, if you're a Quentin Tarantino fan, you probably have already seen this movie.
Right.
But
true.
But it's, you know, it's good.
Cool. Okay. Well, Chet, definitely check that out. That's one of the ones I want to see next week. Why don't we go right to DVDs because we're running low on time because we want to get to the other
sure.
episode
sure.
too. And Looper's coming out.
You saw that.
I did.
Saw that.
I saw that as well.
What did you think of Looper?
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I genuinely liked it. Because I...
Are you just a time travel movie
No, person? I usually don't like time travel.
Oh, wow. I love it.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah. I mean, if it's done well, it's awesome, right? And this thing... It was. I genuinely enjoyed it. I thought it was a fascinating kind of look as to the choices and all this stuff. And I thought, and I didn't mind Cloud Atlas either. But I mean,
well,
that's,
we both like Cloud Atlas. We split on Looper though. I didn't like Looper.
You didn't like Looper.
No.
Oh, that's right. You didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't you like Looper?
I thought it was too many concepts, too much of a mess. Didn't really tie together. Went in too many different directions. You have time traveling assassins. Focus on that.
It's pretty awesome, time traveling assassins.
Well, that's what I mean.
So
why are we going into all this other
the love
all this
story
other stuff
or the personal lives of our assassins or
so? Just all the other kind of like the distractions and all this other
yeah,
stuff that I
mean, what's a distraction? How were you distracted during the? I mean, I thought it was
too long. That was one of them. Too long on the farm.
Okay.
Psychic powers.
Oh.
You know, there was all this other elements introduced. I'm like, no, a villain you never saw. And
okay.
all this other stuff that I thought went all in these different directions. Like, no.
Well,
so
now that you pointed
it
out,
in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of things happening. You were correct.
But here's the thing that was interesting.
I thoroughly
is like everyone had a different reaction. I said this before when I reviewed the movie. Is everyone the Seize That movie has a bit of a different reaction. I'm walking out of the movie theater and the guy behind me goes, man, I love that movie except for the ending. That was so stupid. And I'm thinking the ending was one of the things I didn't have a problem with. I kind of liked the ending.
That made the movie.
So I thought that was interesting to see, you know, everyone kind of, because there's so much going on, everyone kind of looked at it a little differently.
So, right. Chris, you're saying don't rent this movie.
I'm saying it was okay. I mean, I wouldn't go
FX,
out.
FX 5 years from now?
Yeah,
five
FX, yeah.
While
yeah.
doing your laundry?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. Uh-huh.
I thought it was actually, I think it would be a good movie to rent or to get on Netflix just because you could then, you know, because it is interesting enough. On DVD, it's kind of fun because then you could sort of back it up and go, oh, yeah, the mind stuff and all the other stuff.
Actually, this might not be a bad movie to watch with commentary to see like what the the intention was in half these scenes that didn't need to be there.
I like it.
The next movie, Cosmopolis. Was that the Cronenberg movie? Yes, I believe so.
Yes.
That very few people saw, including no one in this room.
So it's coming out, though, on DVD. Yes. Wow, we could all see it now.
Yeah, David Cronenberg, Robert Pattinson, and Julie Binoche. So this is this movie.
That's weird that didn't stay in movie theaters
this
longer.
This movie had a $20 million budget, but it made $743,000.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
A tough go.
Mm. So, and in movie theaters, the first week in January, usually not a huge week for movies. First, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D, because finally, fans are finally getting what they've been asking for.
Which is a chainsaw coming right out of the goddamn screen.
So,
what the hell?
Yeah, there's like, okay, finally. Yeah, gee, I don't know. I can't imagine this movie. Now, I could be wrong, but this movie might make a ton of money, but I don't see it. I think people, like, we've seen, okay,
nope.
Got enough chainsaws and massacres. No.
Right.
We've seen this movie in many iterations. We've
right.
seen the original. We've seen sequels. We've seen remakes. It's
never
okay.
in 3D, though?
Actually, I believe one of them was in 3D. Yeah, I think so.
I think you're right.
Wow.
And the next movie is one I already reviewed, A Dark Truth. And this
Who's
actually,
that
was. That was the movie about the CIA.
Yeah, Damien Lee directed it. Yeah. Andy Garcia is in
Garcia,
it.
The CIA. Aw,
Andy Garcia's working. Good
yes.
for him.
And and he's using a Batman voice. It's
oh,
great.
Is he?
He's like, I had to leave the agency. Although, my review, the one line that I said last when I reviewed it actually got retweeted a couple of times. It said, it's if a 4-year-old made The Constant Gardener. That's what this movie was.
So for all you 4-year-olds out there that were fans of The Constant Gardener,
get out there. This is your go-to. It's don't forget to get popcorn.
Get your tickets early, kids. Buy them online.
That's it.
There's gonna be a 12:01 a.m. screening for The Dark Truth for 4-year-olds only.
Wow.
Wearing their Constant Gardener gear.
Constant Gardener.
Well, that is our regular episode. Our
very
first
exciting.
Episode
first
of 2013.
Really, really exciting.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks. Thank you. We made it. Ooh, ha-ha, Mayans.
Ha-ha. So. by the way, 2012 was a really cool year for us. And
we're very, very excited about everything that kind of happened, everything from the festival to the book and, you know, growing the podcast and the website. And
are you guys
going to
be doing more live episodes in 2013?
We're hoping.
We will. We've definitely kind of made it a thing. We'll be doing at least one live episode
at the podcast festival.
At the podcast festival.
In October.
Yeah, you should.
And also at the Richtown Comedy Festival, we tend to do a rather large live one there every year.
All right.
But yeah, we'll be adding more live shows. A lot of other stuff we'll be adding too. And I do want to mention this because a lot of you guys have been buying the Kung Fu gift pack with the movie Death Grip and Rick Myers' Kung Fu movie book. Rick Myers just sent us a ton of free swag that we're going to be throwing in the gift pack.
It's a Jackie Chan comic book.
And wow. Also like a little Jackie Chan comic book poster and some cards and stuff. And we'll even throw those in if you buy the movie gift pack too, because that has Rick Myers.
We're all about the specialty thing, guys. We can't do the bulk Amazon prices, but we can give you all kinds of freebies and signatures.
Yeah,
and
we're sorry we have to charge you for shipping. Sometimes with the post office, it's a little more than we'd even like it to be.
But free trinkets.
But yeah,
free trinkets.
We try to make up for it in the swag. Yeah, yeah. And of course, you'll get a Woot Monkey too.
And both of our dirty kitten hands have been all over these books.
Yes. just, no, even before we signed them.
We touch them. We sleep in them.
Right.
Yeah.
You rub them all over your chest
I've
hairs.
Rubbed all of these things all over my person. So.
Every item in our inventory has been rubbed over somewhere on Graham's body.
Hey, if people want to go see me doing live stand-up comedy or live podcasts, The Dork Forest, I'm doing a live one in New York next week.
Where?
The 12th at The Pit in Manhattan. That's January 12th, and then January 17th in Toronto, I'm doing a live one.
We got to do a show in New York.
And then I'm doing another one in L.A. January 28th.
Where can they get your tour dates?
JackieCation.com, or if you go to DorkForest.com, there's a link to JackieCation.com if you can't figure out how to spell Jackie Cation. But,
And a lot of times, actually, on ComedyFilmNerds.com, if you go to the calendar, Jackie's dates are on there, too.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks,
so
guys.
Check out her tour dates, guys. See her and the Dork Forest on the road.
On the road.
All right, well, that's our episode. It's our regular episode.
Nice, gearing up for the next one.
Buckle up for a nerd off. which is a pyramid scheme for nerds.
Look at the book.
Look at the book. Jackie brought the book with her. and a hobbit that she has in a little dog bag.
It's a took. He's a fighter.
All right, thank you, Jackie Cation. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember...
Han shot first.